Chapter 36. On a Thursday afternoon in early May, I received a phone call from the attorney for the parole board. The next Paget hearing would take place the following Monday. "Convenient timing," I said. "Why's that?" he asked. "We publish every Wednesday, so I don't have time to run a story before the hearing." "We don't monitor your paper, Mr. Traynor," he said. "I don't believe that," I snapped. "What you believe is irrelevant. The board has decided that you will not be permitted to attend the hearing. You violated our rules last time by reporting on what happened."
"I'm banned?"
"That's correct. I'll be there anyway." I hung up and called Sheriff McNatt. He, too, had been notified of the hearing, but wasn't sure if he could attend. He was hot on the trail of a missing child from Wisconsin, and it was obvious he had little interest in getting mixed up with the Pagets. Our district attorney, Rufus Buckley, had an armed robbery trial scheduled for Monday in Van Buren County. He promised to send a letter opposing the parole, but the letter never made it. Circuit Judge Omar Noose was presiding over the same trial, so he was off the hook. I began to think that no one would be there to speak in opposition to Paget's release. For fun, I asked Baggy to go. He gasped, then quickly let loose with an impressive list of excuses. I walked over to Harry Rex's with the news. He had an ugly divorce trial starting Monday in Tupelo. Otherwise, he might have gone with me to Parchman.
"The boy's gonna be released, Willie," he said.
"We stopped it last year," I said.
"Once the parole hearings start, it's just a matter of time."
"But somebody has to fight it."
"Why bother? He's getting out eventually. Why piss off the Pagets? You won't get any volunteers."
Volunteers were indeed hard to find, as the entire town ducked for cover. I had envisioned an angry mob packing into the parole board hearing and disrupting the meeting. My angry mob consisted of three people. Wiley Meek agreed to ride over with me, though he had no interest in speaking. If they were serious about banning me from the room, Wiley would sit through it and give me the details. Sheriff McNatt surprised us with his presence. Security was tight in the hall outside the hearing room. When the board attorney saw me, he became angry and we exchanged words. Guards in uniforms surrounded me. I was outnumbered and unarmed. I was escorted from the building and placed in my car, then watched by two thick-necked ruffians with low IQs. According to Wiley, the hearing went like clockwork. Lucian was there with various Pagets. The board attorney read a staff report that made Danny sound like an Eagle Scout. His caseworker seconded the nomination. Lucian spoke for 10 minutes, the usual lawyerly bullshit. Danny's father spoke last and pleaded emotionally for his son's release. He was desperately needed back home, where the family had interests in timber, gravel, asphalt, trucking, contracting, and freight. He would have so many jobs and work so many hours each week that he couldn't possibly get into more trouble. Sheriff McNatt gamely stood up for the people of Ford County. He was nervous and not a good speaker, but did a credible job of replaying the crime. Remarkably, he neglected to remind the board members that a jury drawn from the same pool of people who elected him had been threatened by Danny Paget. By a vote of 4-1, Danny Paget was paroled from prison.